pleasure being with you this evening. And I'm going to suggest you turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter 40. I've been reading in Isaiah recently, and I've enjoyed a number of thoughts this evening, just some thoughts on those thoughts, and they may all fit together. They may not all fit together, but hopefully they'll all be helpful. This is not a polished sermon. This is just some thoughts that I've been enjoying, and hopefully you can enjoy them as well. Isaiah chapter 40. You may remember that many have suggested that the book of Isaiah is broken into two parts. The first part is 39 chapters. The second part is 27 chapters. And the commentators have said that's interesting, because the first 39 chapters are like the Old Testament. And the next 27 chapters, chapters 40 through 66, those are something like the New Testament. Now, we don't believe that Isaiah took his thoughts and said 39 chapters of this and 27 chapters of that. But the people who divided the Bible into chapters did so. And it's interesting, the first part is like the Old Testament, 39 chapters, 39 books. And the New Testament, the second part is like the New Testament, 27 chapters, 27 books. So as I was reading through, I noted the very interesting beginning of the second part of Isaiah. It's Isaiah chapter 40, and it reads like this: comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. And I say that's a strange way to talk. How often do you, when you start talking, do you put the same word in the sentence or sentence a half? Comfort, comfort, and comfort. That's not an ordinary way to write it. When you were in school and you had composition tests and you wrote something like that, the teacher would say to you, Harold, get another word, or don't emphasize it. What are you doing? Comfort, comfort, comfort. What's going on? And then you keep reading in your Bible until you get to chapter 66. Chapter 66. And you find the same theme, only I can't find it. So when you find it, you tell me where it is. Chapter 66. And for some reason, I didn't write down the number. Where is the reference to comfort, comfort, comfort in chapter 66? Chapter 13, verse 13. That's right. As one whose his mother comforted, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You see, that's a short verse. I count 18 words. Three of them are comfort. What? Why would you emphasize it like that? And then you turn over to 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse And we'll start reading at verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. How many times did you read comfort in those verses? Answer, 5 times. You see, you know, that's very strange. Why would you get the repeated reference to comfort? And there's many answers, and I've told you that this is not a polished sermon. This is just ideas and meditations. But I guess I sit back and say, Lord, I'm glad that you're concerned about comfort. Imagine a God who would comfort me and would emphasize the fact that he wants to preach to us comfort by repeating the word over and over. 2 times the word comfort in a very short span, and once 5 times. 2 times three words in the section, and the next the 5 words in the section. And so I said to myself, Harold, there's probably some significance there. Why don't you go back and look at it a little bit more? So that's what I did. So back to chapter 40 again. And the question would be, among other things, what does the word comfort mean? And it's interesting. The word comfort basically means to sigh. It's very strange. Among other things, it means to sigh in the sense of being displeased with and to rue. Oh, I never should have done that. And on other times, it means, isn't that wonderful? And so often, you will find it translated, repent. And oftentimes you find that Hebrew word translated, comfort. And I'm a pretty simple guy. So I say, isn't that interesting? Repent first, comfort second. That's the way it occurs most frequently in the Bible. At the very beginning of your Bible, you'll read about repent more often translated. And then at the end, comfort. So can you put those two together? If you sigh, I never should have done that. What's likely to follow? That's comforting. Just that very simple thought is comforting, isn't it? To think that God would listen to my of repentance, and he would comfort me so that I would say, what a wonderful Savior. Job was like that. We read in Job, I guess it's chapter 42, but you remember the verse. It says, I heard about God and so on, but then I saw him and I repent in sackcloth and ashes. What happened after that? When the Lord doubled everything in his life. And I think when Job was an old man, I think if you went up to him and you say, how you doing, Job? And he said, everything's wonderful. I had some problems, you know. The Lord comforted me. It's interesting the word is used often of the Lord himself. And oftentimes he goes, And most frequently, when the word is used of the Lord, he repents of the judgment that he intended to give the people. And he says, I think I'll comfort them instead. You get that concept that you all remember in the story of Nineveh. And the Lord, through Jonah, said, 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. And the men of Nineveh repented. And the Lord said, I don't think I'm going to judge them that way now, after all. He judged them later when they reverted to their sin. But while they didn't revert to their sin, sorry, while they, what's the word I want? While they repented of their sin, he said, I'm not going to punish them that way. So are you glad that you get comforted by the Lord? Do you ever say, what a wonderful thing, I've got a friend in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. He's there to comfort us. The word is used often, it's often used actually in the book of Isaiah. And so because we're sort of focusing on Isaiah, we've got the beginning, chapter 40 and chapter 26. We saw the word repeated on a threefold occasion, both those times. Let's look at some other verses in the book of Isaiah. So you got to give me a minute to get organized here. Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah 49. And I think it's verse 13. This is what it says. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth. That's interesting, isn't it? When the earth is joyful, heaven is singing. Hallelujah. Break forth into singing, O ye mountains, for the Lord has comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. Oh, you see, that's good news. We trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior by the grace of God, and he comforted us. And we had the sentence of judgment and death on us, but he had mercy on the people who were afflicted by the circumstances of life and the circumstances and penalties of sin. And so the Lord had mercy on them. Verse 14, Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will not I forget thee. How much is the Lord going to comfort us? Well, he says, I'm going to treat you just like a mother treats her baby. Have you ever seen a mother with any affection for her baby? And the answer is yes. And mothers, they often become very affectionate of their baby. And at one point, I can't believe I did it, but at one point, I actually said to a mother once, I said, you know, you might consider doing this with your baby. She looked at me. She said, what? She said, it's my baby. I know what to do with my baby. Basically, she said, Harold, you don't know anything about babies. You don't tell me what to do with my baby. I said, all right. And so I've never done that since. I've said, Harold, they know what to do with their babies. What does the Lord do with us? He comforts us. And even though a mother might forget her baby, he says, I will not forget my children. Would that comfort you? You thought about it? In the middle of the night tonight, you say, I'm just like a little baby. And the Lord will comfort me. Oh, you say, I can relax in that. Verse 16, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. And you look at the hands of the Lord Jesus, and you'll see the scars. And if you looked at the fine print, you'd see your name right on his hands. Is he going to forget? No, he's not going to forget. Turn over to chapter 51. Verse 3. Chapter 51, verse 3. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. How much? Everywhere. And her desert, he will make her wilderness like Eden. Is there a contrast between a wilderness and the Garden of Eden? You betcha. And her desert will be like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. What's the consequences of his comfort? Well, fruitfulness and thanksgiving and melody. Da 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 da. And we sing the praises of the Lord. That's comfort. Verse 11. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and shall come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. I, even I, am he that comforts you. What are the ultimate What's the ultimate outcome of the comfort he gives us? Answer, everlasting joy. Is that good comfort? Bible says, you trust in the Lord and he'll comfort you. You say, oh yeah, so what do I get? Well, actually, you get a whole lot. So much so. You will end up with, when you let the Lord comfort you, and let him comfort you, because what you're going to get is everlasting joy. And therefore, you will come to Zion with singing, da 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 da. And periodically, you hear singing that's really great singing. And you say, why are these people singing so enthusiastically? And the answer is because the Lord comforted them. Kind of amazing, isn't it? Why would the Lord care to comfort me? He says, I'll comfort you. That's Isaiah 51. Isaiah 66 again. Back to Isaiah 66. That's where we started with these three verses in Isaiah 66, and we said it was verse 13. Isaiah 66, 13, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. So verse 12 for a context. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall you suck. You shall be borne upon her sides and be dandled upon her knees as one whom his mother comforts. So will I comfort you. What's the picture? Well, the picture is a picture of a crying baby. The baby might be, I'm not sure, as I read it, I think, the baby might be 1 year old. And so the mother walks into the room, and the baby is crying and crying and crying and crying. What's the mother do? Well, she picks him up, and she says, da-dee-da-dee-da. And she maybe feeds him, does a few other things, and sets her on her knees, and bounces the baby up and down, and the baby goes, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. How's the Lord going to comfort you? Same way. What? You say to that one-year-old child, you say, are you worried about the war in the Ukraine? And the one-year-old child says, no, 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 no. And he's giggling and googling. And what about inflation? No, not interested in that. What about all the other problems in the world? No. What about the fact that you're sick? What about all the other problems? And then the little baby says, I don't care about any of those things. My mother loves me. And I'm just da 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 da. Is that a comforting picture of comfort? What more kind of picture of comfort could you get than these comfort pictures that we've had already in Isaiah? Absolutely amazing. Quickly over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Second Corinthians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 3. The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Did the Corinthians deserve lots of comfort? Well, you read the first book of Corinthians. It's pretty bad news. What's wrong with you, Corinthians? Answer just about everything. What's the Lord say to them? The Lord's going to comfort you. You trust, you repent, you turn to the Lord, and you let him comfort you. Blessed be the God and Father, who is the God of all comfort. Why does he comfort us? He comforts us where, first of all? In all our tribulation. He comforts us in what kinds of problems? Well, some of the easy ones. Leaves the hard one to us. That's not what it says. He comforts us in all our tribulation. Why? Well, in the sense that he comforts us so that we may be able to comfort them who are in trouble. You ever met anybody who's got a problem? What do you do? What do you say to them? Well, among other things, you say, you know, I had a problem once. What I did was I prayed, and God helped me. And I tell you probably more than I should tell you about the stories in my life. But one of the reasons I tell you is that you can say, Harold had a problem, and God helped him in his problem and comforted him in his problem. Why do you have a problem? Well, so that you can enjoy the comfort of God. Why would you enjoy the comfort of God? So that you can tell others who've got a problem that you had a problem and God comforted you, just like he can comfort them if they will turn to him like you did. How would you, what goes before comfort? Repentance. And you repent, and you turn to the Lord, and the Lord looks and he says, I'm not going to send that punishment. And you say, thank you, Lord. Is a good thing to say every now and then. Okay, just do it. Absolutely marvelous. Well, then as I was studying, I ran across another verse in the book of Isaiah that struck me. It struck me pretty firmly. So I'm going to turn you to it now. It's in Isaiah chapter 33. Isaiah chapter 33 and verse, Isaiah 33, verse 6. It says, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. What do you know about the fear of the Lord? Well, the fear of the Lord is the kind of thing that causes you to say, I never should have done that. The fear of the Lord is what causes you to say, I'm not going to do that. So what do we know about the fear of the Lord? Well, you'll remember, it's in Proverbs chapter 1. I'm just going to turn you to it so you can see it. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs Proverbs chapter 1. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. What happens if you didn't understand the fear of the Lord? Frankly, you're totally ignorant. You've never learned the most important thing. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. What kind of knowledge? All knowledge. All knowledge begins with the fear of the Lord. Wow, you say, that's interesting. You go over to chapter 9 now. Chapter 9 and verse 10. And it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you've got the fear of the Lord, you've got a knowledge of God. And if you've got the fear of the Lord, you've got a wisdom that flows from God. And then the most common phrase that we know probably on the subject of the fear of the Lord is the verse that says, the fear of the Lord is to depart from evil. That's what the fear of the Lord's all about. So you say, I'm going to depart from evil by the grace of God. I know the truth of God. I'm going to fear the Lord, and that'll be my knowledge. I'll fear the Lord. That'll be my wisdom. I'll fear the Lord. I'll stay away from evil. And what else do you get? Well, you get the treasure of the fear of the Lord. So I say to myself, how can I explain that? And so I thought about Mr. Waldo, and he lives down the street. And he's got a pretty simple house. And he drives an old car. And you sort of feel sorry for him. That's the kind of guy he is. And so you say to him, Mr. Waldo, I feel sorry for you. Mr. Waldo says, you feel sorry for me. Why is that? Well, he says, you're poor. Mr. Waldo says, I'm not poor. Well, he said, I think you're poor. Mr. Waldo says, listen, come with me. So you go into Mr. Waldo's house. He takes you down the basement. And you get into a corner of the basement. There's a great big safe there. And he opens up the safe. And you look inside, and there's all these bars of gold. And there's piles of silver. And then there's precious stones all around there. And you say to him, Mr. Waldo, I thought you were poor. Mr. Waldo says, I'm not poor. I'm rich. See what I got in my safe here? The fear of the Lord is your treasure. So I don't know how much money you got. And that doesn't matter. And I don't mind about all the other things. That doesn't matter. But this matters. Have you got a treasure chest in your life that is the fear of the Lord? Wow. If you had that, you'd be rich. The fear of the Lord is, how can you describe it? The fear of the Lord is a vast treasure. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. So I was thinking about this. I thought about the story of J.N. Darby. And J.N. Darby was a mighty man of God. Many of you have heard about him and appreciate him. He's disparaged by many in our day because they don't like his teaching. He's a great man of God. But he had a problem. Well, he didn't think it was a problem, but his friends did. He didn't dress very well. His friends kept on giving him new clothes, and he kept on giving them away and wearing his old clothes. And it became just it was a pretty important part of his life. And he was sitting one day, way back. Let's say it was probably in the year 1860, 1870. He was sitting in Central Park in New York. And he was sitting there, bowed forward, praying, and his hat was in his lap. And as he was praying, all of a sudden he heard a little lip, and he looked up, And there was a nice man standing against him, and he looked in his hat, and there was 10 cents. And he said to the man, he said, what's this? He said, well, I saw you're a poor man, and I thought that man's going to be hungry. So I thought I'd better put 10 cents in his hat. And J.N. Darby said, well, that's very kind of you, but he said, I want you to know I'm not a poor man. And he started telling him a little bit about the grace of God. And I believe that man he spoke to, I think his name was Mr. Hodder. And he said, you know, I'm a believer. I think Hodder said, I'm a believer too. And they started talking of one to another. And then the Darby said to him, well, what are you doing for the service of God? And they carried on a conversation. And on the strength of that conversation, Hodder went to the Bahamas. I believe it's the Bahamas. And he started to preach. And on the strength of that conversation, the Christians became so popular that they were called the Hodderites, because they were all like him. Where did he get it all? He got it from this poor man sitting there with a fear of the Lord. J.N. Darby, fearing the Lord, loving the Lord. And everybody thought he was a poor man, but he had riches, bountiful riches. When Darby was a young man, and the Spirit of God began to work on him, he used to go through Ireland, and he would walk through the rural parts of Ireland, preaching in barns, and hundreds became believers from this poor man who was so poor that they actually gave him 10 cents in his hat. Are you rich? How rich? Well, by the grace of God, you might say, I fear the Lord. And if you had no other treasure in your life other than the fear of the Lord, you would be rich. Okay, well, those are just some thoughts from the book of Isaiah that I've been enjoying. The Lord wants to give us comfort, not superficial comfort, real comfort in all the circumstances of life. And the two thoughts are parallel. The fear of the Lord is like the repentance. The riches are like the comfort that flows from the repentance. Fear the Lord. Trust in Him. He'll bring it to pass. Lord, we want to thank you that you care about us enough to comfort us in our problems. It's true, Lord, we got lots of problems. And I'm embarrassed by the problems that I've got. But Lord, you're able to resolve these problems. Lord, would you give us the peace that a little child has when he's dandled on his mother's knees? And he doesn't care about the other things. He just says, thank you, mommy, for loving me. Lord, would you preach your comfort to us? We know that it's there in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. We thank you that it's so clear in the Gospels and in the New Testament. We thank you for all the joys into which you brought us. Lord, would you give us peace? Help us, Lord, to fear the Lord. And then see fit to cause us to be comforted by the treasure that is implied in all that. We give thanks now for your kindness. Bless, Lord. We came to pray tonight. We're praying that you're going to bless. We're praying you're going to do a great work for God amongst us. Thank you for those who were baptized. Thank you for many who want to be baptized. Lord, build this assembly, glorify your name, build your church, and give to each of us comfort, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.